You in our study, we're talking about witnessing, amen. We're talking about sharing our faith, amen. Being able to share our faith and be able to, lead someone to Christ, amen. Black history? All right. Well, who's doing black history then? Y'all need to come on. Amen, because I'm getting ready to teach.
Good evening. I am Shelia Johnson, known to be the first black female billionaire. I was born and raised in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, on January 25th, 1949. From 1969 to 2002, I was married to William T. Newman. We had two children. And in 2005, I married Robert L. Johnson. I graduated from Proviso East High School. I am a successful businesswoman who is the head CEO of Salamander Hotels and Resorts, and I currently own the teams Washington Capitals, Washington Wizards, and the Washington Mystics. My parents, George and Mary Crump, had strong musical talents. I guess they passed down to me as I started playing the violin at 9. My entrepreneurial spirit showed as a young child. I crafted purses of oatmeal boxes, and my mother took me around the neighborhood to sell them. I went to the University of Illinois on a full music scholarship. But it is not always about money. I enjoy donating funds. A few years ago, I gave $3 million to the Middleburg Hill School and $2 million to the financially struggling Bennett College and $7 million to the New York's Pearson School of Design. Yes, my life is great, but I had to work for every penny I have. I am the first black female billionaire. I am strong, I am humble, I am effortful, I am independent, I am loving, I am ambitious. I am Shelia Crump Johnson.
Amen, to God be the glory, amen. We're going to have to hit her up right quick. Amen. Amen. We need her address. Send her an email or something. Amen. Tell her we're trying to do something on this side. Amen. Have a few reminders tonight. I want to get that out the way before I start tonight. Domino Pizza Card fundraiser is due tonight. If you've sold, and I know all of you have sold cards. I know that. Please turn those into Sister Alma tonight before you leave tonight. Amen. If you need a little bit more time, let me know. Okay, but tonight's the night. Amen. Family and friends barbecue cook-off will be this Saturday at 11. At 11 a.m. Amen. This Saturday, family and friends barbecue cook-off. So those of you who think you can cook, amen, think you can do something, come on and do it, amen. I want to also mention that membership dues for each ministry is due on this coming Sunday, amen. You will turn in your dues for your ministry. First fruit offering pledges, amen, are coming up on March 13th. I want you to keep praying, amen. Now, someone asked me, well, Pastor, can I bring it? Because, you know, I don't trust myself. And you want to bring it in now. You want to turn it in now. You can. Amen. Now, I'm building mine up, and I'm asking God. I know what I've asked God to do, and he's helped me to do that and then some. And I'm going to do a little bit more than what I pledged. And so you don't have to stick to what's on the card. But I pray that you all are prayerfully considering this, because I want to see some of you blessed this year. Amen. So what that means is you got to do some things by faith. Amen. Do me a favor. Turn the lights up on the stage for me, please. Thank you very much. Amen. And then we have our ushers and greeters annual day coming up, which will be March 20th. Amen. And then also I want to gear you up for Holy Week revival. Amen. Revival is coming. Amen. And I'm asking all of you to show up. 5 days, we're going to be in the presence of God starting at 7 p.m. We'll be prompt. We'll be out at 8 o'clock every night. We will not dismiss. We'll just close in prayer. That's how you do revival. Now, revival is a time for you and I to start to get refreshed spiritually. And so you'll find out that during this Holy Week revival, amen, you may get your breakthrough, amen, and refreshed. So I'm just asking that you all would be ready, amen. We have teachers. We're going to have an institute speaker, as well as we'll have a preacher for that night with the choir and everything. And so I just want to thank God, amen, for Holy Week revival. Give God a praise for all of that that's coming, amen. So tonight, if you have your handout tonight, I want you to go to session 3. We stopped off there last week. I want to get to session 2. I'm gonna try to do some role playing tonight. Amen. I'm gonna get some of you to role play with me tonight. Amen. I'm gonna get a mic in your hand, and hopefully we get there tonight. Amen. And so I want to show you something. Thank God for our vision. Come on. Amen. We're living the vision. What else we're going to do? We're going to believe the vision. Amen. And we're going to what? We're going to share the vision. Amen. We stopped off last week, and I showed you how a witnessing relationship begins, right? I mean, you remember that. Philip, amen, he was going, God told him to go to a certain place. He was there. He witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then the Ethiopian, he does such a good job. The Ethiopian eunuch said, man, what prevents me from what? From being what? Baptized, right? All right. And he says, who is he? You know, he said, do you understand? Now, notice how he asked him. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless what? Someone what? Teaches me. And that's part of our vision, right? Moving people to what? Maturity. And when you mature, you can explain the scriptures. Hello, somebody. When you move into maturity, you can, this is what Bible study is all about. You can then start articulating the word of God, right? And understanding it in the context that is written, so that you can, watch this, so that you can share a word with somebody who's in need, all right? Now remember, witnessing is about sharing Jesus Christ. Amen, the good news, right? So tonight, I want someone to read for me. We got 8 mics now. We got a bunch of mics around here, so come on here. Let me grab this one here. Yeah, pass that thing around. Amen. We got a bunch of mics. Look, we got a whole bag of mics now. Give God a praise. This is what your tithes and offerings are. Amen. It's working for us. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Look at all these microphones we got in here. Amen. You can grab one. Anyone. Just grab one. Testing one. And it works. Look, it works. Amen. So I want someone to read for me. So somebody hold this. Hold this. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody read for me the 10 descriptions of a becomer. The ten, right there on page, right there on session three, right there in the black, it says the 10 descriptions of a becomer. All right? So what we're saying is you got to become part of this. So well, let's look at the description of a becomer, okay? I got some good stuff tonight. It's so much I got on me to teach you tonight. I'm full, y'all, so bear with me here. All right, I want to take you one place. I want to take you another place, but I want you to read, somebody to read that. I want to see if you are a becomer. Amen? Come on, somebody. Oh, come on, let's read.
They want their life to bring glory and souls to God. Their life to bring glory and souls to God.
Keep going. All right, we'll go on.
They have died to themselves. They know that being a friend is an important part of evangelism. They are willing to go the second mile. They are genuinely concerned for others. They know it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict the sinner of sin. They know their possessions are to be used for service. They keep their eyes on harvest. They invite lost people to their parties and other social gatherings. They also have a most wanted for Christ list.
All right, they have a most wanted for Christ list. All right. So there's the becomer, right? What's the first thing they want to do? They want their life. They want their life to do what? Listen, how do you bring glory to God? How do you do that? How do you do that? Okay, sharing the word of God. Okay, what else? I gave y'all this definition in 70. Live your life as an example. I tell you what it means. Everything you do, people can see Christ in you. That's how you bring glory to God. Everything you do, people won't see you. They'll see Christ. Come on, somebody. In other words, every accomplishment that you make in life. See, here's the thing. We're talking about witnessing. But the question is, what kind of witness are we? Come on, somebody. And the kind of witness you are affects your witnessing. Amen. Now, a becomer is one who wants to bring glory and watches and souls to God. Right? Now, I don't know about you, but I love seeing new people come to Christ. Amen. It's an exciting thing. And being that we live in a church that wants that to happen, that moves them from what? Move them to what? Maturity, membership, ministry, mission, while what? Magnifying our Savior. That's the exciting part of bringing someone to Christ, is to watch them. Watch how they were, and then watch 6 months, a year, 2 years later, how they're growing and developing and they're living a glorious life. Now, here's the thing. I want to show you something here. I want to show you something. Can I show you a scripture tonight? Boy, listen, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I got to show you this scripture tonight. Good Lord, I got to show you. Go to Ezekiel for me. Because we got to be careful. See, I'm talking about witnessing, but I want to talk to the witnesser for a minute. Come on, somebody. Now, you may find yourself here. I hope you don't. Amen. Ezekiel chapter, I'm going to make sure I say it right, because y'all going to say I said this and said that and all kinds of stuff. Y'all sure is hard on a preacher. Amen. Pastor, you didn't say that. You said this. Amen. Okay, so let me say it right tonight, right? Ezekiel chapter 33. Amen. And we're going to read. All right. Now let me tell you what's happening. Chapter children of Israel had finally been defeated. They had finally, because of their, they had been fighting off Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, right? And they, God finally gave them over to Nebuchadnezzar because of their lack of concern for him. They turned their backs on him. They started living idolatrously. You know what I mean? They started worshiping idols. They started having orgies and in the temple of, you know, different temples and things like that. I mean, these people had went off the chain. They, matter of fact, they were supposed to be God's people, right? And it's amazing because, you know, what happens to us sometimes, you know, we think we're living for God, but we're doing it the wrong way. I keep saying that, but these people had a problem. Now, while Jerusalem was being overtaken, this is Judah. This is another tribe, right? They were in exile already, all right? So while in exile, they didn't look at being in exile as, you know, as punishment anymore. They're like, well, we're here. You know, that can happen to you. You could be in your situation and start saying, "Well, this is part of who I am. I might as well act like everybody else." You follow what I'm saying? Just because you're going through doesn't mean you should give in or give up, right? But look what it says here, and I want to look at verse 30. I want to start in verse 30. Look what it says. "But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the," let me back up verse 29. "Then they will know that I am the Lord when I make the land a what? A desolation and a waste because of all their what?" Was I right? Because of all of their what? You know, here's the thing. You have to realize this. You know, if there is barrenness in your life, I'm talking about the witness now, the witnesser today. You know what I mean? If your life is desolate and if you are living a life where there's so many abominations, amen. Now, abomination simply means things that you're doing that's detestable in the sight of God. Are y'all following me with this? Now I'm bringing this up to say that, listen, we can't witness if we're not living the life, okay? I mean, listen, we got to live the life, okay? And we all struggle. Listen, there's no person in this room tonight that doesn't struggle. How many struggle? Yeah, I struggle hard, man, all right? But here's the thing. I know how to fight off. I know how to get on my knees. I know how to pray. I know how to persevere and not give in, right? So look what it says. It says, "Because of all the abomination they've committed." Now watch this. "But as for you, son of man," now he's talking to Ezekiel, right? "Your fellow citizens," watch this, "who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, 'Come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord.'" Now here's the thing. They wasn't saying, they were talking about the preacher. They're like, "Well, let's go see what Pastor got to say today." That's what they were saying. They had gotten so careless and callous in their listening, it became like, listen, one of the things, their desire was for entertainment, not divine enlightenment. Listen to me real good. Their desire, they would say, "Well, oh yeah, you know what? Let's go down to church and let's go hear the choir." You follow what I'm saying? They had gotten to that point in their journey. They did not, their desire was for what? Entertainment, not what? Divine enlightenment. That's why you came tonight. Amen. You came to hear something from God, right? But these people had gotten to a place where they had become so callous in their listening that they started to say, "Well, yeah, let's go hear what the preacher got to say today." All right? Now watch this. Look at verse 31. They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words. Come on. But they do not do them. Verse 30, they were saying, let's go hear the preacher. Verse 31, they had assembled in church. And what they were doing, this is why the Lord wanted me to speak about this tonight. Okay, James talks about this, being a forgetful hearer, right? But here's the thing I want to share with you tonight, saints. You don't want to be the kind of person that's just going through the routine in your Christian life. Because if you're that kind of person, you will never bring anybody to Christ. It will always be all about you. Are you with me? Look what he says. He says, you sit there, you hear my words, but they do not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their what? Mouth. And their heart goes after their what? Gain. Behold, you are to them, watch this, like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. You know, that's what I see in church today, in many churches today. They want to go hear the singing preacher. Come on, somebody. They want to be entertained. People today are Lord just showed me this today. I was like, wow. People, they're coming for entertainment. In other words, their behavior was not consistent with their beliefs. Come on, somebody, high five your neighbor and say, that was real, that was real, that was real, that was real. Their behavior was not consistent with their belief. And what I don't want to be, and what I don't want us to be, is a church full of people who just talk. We got a nice vision, but all we're doing is watch the text. The text says, for they hear your words, watch this, but they do not what? Practice them. Listen. God was telling Ezekiel that these people, when they come to hear you, they look at you as you're singing a sensual song. Amen. Entertainment over divine what? Enlightenment. Right? And they were not people who lived the word. They were people who talked about it, but they were not about it. And that's something that we have to be careful of, saints, because if we're not careful to practice what you've heard and put into practice in your life, you're going to stay stuck right where you are. And may I say this to you? God doesn't want that for you. So what we have to learn to do is we have to make up in our minds to say we're not going to be like this. We're not going to be like this. He says, so when it came to pass, and surely it will, then, watch what it says. Listen, as hard as I labor, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a professor, amen, he says, when it will come to pass, as surely as it will, then they will know it'll be too late, that a what? Prophet has been in their midst. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people today, they're drawn to churches just like this because that's the kind of people they are. And what has happened in the church today, the church has changed her strategy to fit this kind of people. A people who want to hear a song, a people who want to see a show, but they don't want to change their lives. They don't want to deal with their insecurities. They don't want to deal with their mess. They want to keep living, amen, a certain kind of way and still say hallelujah. Amen. And still say God is approving my mess. This mess is not approved by God. Amen. because God doesn't approve that stuff. But when I saw this, it captivated me this morning in my prayer closet. I said, man, this is pretty heavy. This falls right along with talking about how to build a witnessing relationship. If your relationship with God isn't built, then how can I expect you to go out and get anybody? Do we have anybody new here tonight? Do we have anybody new here tonight? First time visitors? Okay. I'm just saying. You know, our lives is what people are attracted to. And if we're going to build a relationship, amen, a witnessing relationship, you got to know, how many know this is real? Listen, but what happens along the way when it seems as if it's not real anymore? When the pressures of life come upon us. How many are going through today? How many are going through today? Right now, you're going through some stuff. Amen. And here's the thing. How are you handling it? Are you going through the word? Are you praying about it? Are you seeking God? You follow the same? See, because here's the thing. I have to say this to you tonight. God wants me to say this to you tonight. Don't be a person who hears the word but don't live the word. Did I go over that scripture with y'all last week? James chapter 1. I didn't do that? Go to James chapter 1 for me. I'm sorry. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. Thank God we're led by the Spirit. Amen. Thank God we're not performing, right? Come on, somebody. Thank God that we know that our Redeemer lives. Thank God that we know that no matter what comes, boy, if you don't be, Sunday, I got a message for you. Family and friend, I got a message for you Sunday. I got a powerful message. Lord gave me a message. Amen, amen. Watch this now. Look at verse 19. Oh, James chapter 1, verse 19. Okay. Somebody read that for me. This I say, brethren. Okay. Quick to what?
Quick to hear. Thank you. Slow to speak and slow to anger.
Slow to anger.
For the anger of man does not achieve the
righteousness. Let me help you with that. Just because you get mad doesn't mean you're going to get your way. And as a matter of fact, your anger does not achieve anything righteously. It doesn't work. You can try it. You can get mad, upset, all you want. Anger gets you nowhere. Right? So he said, this I say, be what? Slow to speak, quick to what? And slow to anger. That's a process. That's something I had to learn. Right? So back in Ezekiel, see what was happening to these people. They weren't practicing all of that. They were literally going to church as a form of entertainment. Just to be part of something without any substance, without listening intently to the word so that they can get their breakthrough. See, they were in exile. Now, here's the thing. Some of us, when we fall into sin, we're like, well, forget it. I hope you don't say that. All right, go ahead. Therefore, verse 20.
Okay. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains.
Stop right there. Putting aside what? Now watch this. We want to witness to people. But at the job, I'm just saying, listen to me real good. Are people seeing Christ? Now watch this. Whatever remains, you know what he's talking about? The stuff that you brought into your Christian life. All that baggage, all that stuff, all of those burdens, all of those things. He said, listen, he says, I want you to take all that stuff that remains, and here's what I want you to do with it. I want you to get rid of it. He said, how can I get rid of it, Pastor? How can I get rid of it? You got to give it to God. You got to ask yourself, why am I really coming to church? A lot of people come to church for the right reasons. Amen. Praise God for you who are coming for the right reasons. A lot of people come for the wrong reasons. And what I found out, this is my new thing, what a lot of people are coming to be entertained. That's what he said. He said when they hear you, it's like a sensual song. They're like, ooh, preach, preacher. I can't sing. I did sing Sunday, though. I fooled y'all. Amen. Amen. Shoot. Watch out now. All right, go ahead. Let me stop. Go ahead. Putting aside all that remains of what?
Wickedness.
In what?
In humility.
No, of remains of what? Wickedness. Because that's our old nature. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. So you're no longer wicked anymore. You've been transformed. All right? Now, you may have some wicked intentions, but that's the stuff that remained from the past. So you don't have an excuse now to revert back to being wicked because you've been saved. You've been transformed. You've been set free. You've been delivered. Come on, somebody. You've been sanctified. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. You have evidence in your life that you're saved. How many got evidence? How many know that you're saved? See, that's the key thing. Now, see, if I know I'm saved and I know this is real, then I'll open my mouth and tell somebody else. Amen. I want to see us bring people, y'all. I want to see it happen. I want you to be so compelled. All of y'all got game. I know all of y'all. All of y'all got talk game. Every last one of you in this room. Every last one. God knew the kind of people he's going to place at the Vision Church. But Ronnie, he's slick, boy. He got game. Look, sometimes he be saying it. He say it in such a way, I be like, man, that boy there, Cole, he can say some stuff. Watch out for John now. He, ooh, Lord, John will always tell you, Pastor, when I was out there in the world, Pastor, you don't understand, Pastor. I was a playboy, Pastor. We all got game. We all got some kind of talk game in here. But now we're using it for the Lord. Or we should be using it for the Lord. Am I right about it? Amen. I'm just, you know, if you look, some of y'all, when y'all want something, I ain't calling no names. I ain't pointing no fingers. But when you want something bad enough, amen, you get it. You get that thing. You get that thing. You want something so bad. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead, Sister Sarah. Go ahead.
In humility, receive the word implanted.
In humility, receive the word what? Implanted. So every time you hear the word, it sounds down into your ears, it goes down into your heart, and it becomes part of you. So I want you to know this, not like the people in Ezekiel, okay, where they were coming to be entertained, but you vision. When every time you hear the word, it's being implanted, something new is being added to your soul. Every time. Amen. So don't think that what you're doing is in vain. Don't think, well, you know, I've been at work. Listen, if you've been at work all day, and you tired of traffic and all this stuff, when you come here and you hear the word, man, you should be energized. Listen, something should happen on the inside of you if you're really listening. I'm saying one more time. If you're really listening, amen. It does something to you. It has that power. Why? Because the word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God is good not just for the material, but it's good for the immaterial and also the psychological. So in other words, it can change your mind. That's what the word is. That's how powerful it is. And when it says marrow, that's the white part of your bone. Watch this. It gets all inside of you. Jeremiah said it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. That's what Jeremiah said. So when I come to church and I hear a word from God, it's implanted in me. And watch this. It starts transforming me. Start changing me. Somebody here, I want to tell you, you got to change the way you listen. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. Keep going there, sis.
Okay. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers of who dilute themselves. For if anyone is a hearer.
Okay, he said what? Okay. Prove yourself what?
The word
doers. Doers. How do you do it? You just do it. I mean, you hear it. If pastor been saying, look, we've been talking for 3-4 weeks now on witnessing. Some of you went out and got some people. Amen. Some of you have literally went out and brought some people, and God has honored that, because you're hearing what I'm saying to you, and you're like, man, we're finna get these people. I get it, Pastor. I understand what you. I can't get the fathered by God if you don't witness for nobody, to nobody. Why? Because there's some other people that need to know, amen, that they don't even know how to be a son or a daughter. Come on, son. That's my next Bible study. It's coming. Amen. And we're gonna get our blessing and our breakthrough out of that. But he says what? He says, but prove yourself to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who what? Delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his face what? In a what? In a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of what? So if you come to church, you hear the word, you don't practice it, you're like a man who looks, you see it, you get happy at what you see, and then you forget all about it by the time you get into the parking lot, by the time you get home, you done forgot, you done got mad because you hungry. Yeah. Heard? I ain't going to say nothing. Amen. I ain't going to leave him alone. I'm going to leave her alone. Her like beans. Amen. You forget. Forget what? You forget all about the word. Well, if you don't do it, and this is why we see a lot of people who live inconsistent Christian lives. The reason they're living inconsistent Christian lives is because from the moment they hear it, they get happy. Right, like a sensual song, and then by the time they get home, by the time life hits them, what happens? They forget everything. What did Pastor say again? What did he say? Hey, heard, chill out, man. But the one who looks what? Intently at the what? Perfect law, the law of liberty, and what? Abides by it. Not having become a what? Forgetful what? Hearer, but a what? But a what? But an effectual what? Watch this now. This man, come on somebody, what does it say? How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to be blessed? Can I tell you how to be blessed? Do the word. If I've been preaching and teaching you on change, you ought to start changing something in your life. How many of you started making change? I done changed my yard, man. I done changed a whole bunch of stuff. I done got rid of a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. I done changed providers. If you're not treating me right, I deserve better. Come on, somebody. And there's somebody else who's going to give me what I want. And isn't it amazing when you go to something new, how they treat you like royalty? But the people you've been hanging with for a long time, they treat you commonly. They just want your money. They don't appreciate you. They don't give you good customer service. It's time for change. Amen. And that's what we have to do. So if you're hearing what I'm preaching to you every week, and you are actually going out and applying it, that's how you move to maturity. That's how you get to maturity. By applying the word. And after maturity, watch what happens. Then you move to what? Membership. Then you become a full-blown member. Because now you're applying it. And you're living it, right? You say, what does all this got to do with witnessing? I believe the life of the witnesser is important. Right? Now flip on over to Psalm 1. Yeah, the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Flip on over there. Let me show you how many you want to be blessed. All right? Now watch this. Now I'm going to deal with this, and then I'm going to get on over here. All right? So he says, who do you know in your circle of relationships? Who do you know in your circle of relationship who's an unbeliever? How many of you got some unbeliever in your family? Can you name two of them? Put them on that list. What about your coworker? Now, how do you identify unbeliever? Because, you know, you got those fake ones, right? Fake believers. I'm sorry. So-called Christians. I'm sorry. They say they're Christians, but you can't see no fruit. They're going to tell you, but they're going to tell you, I've been baptized when I was two. I go to church. Where you go to church? I go to Sagemont. They always call the biggest church out there because that's the only church they can remember at the time. Are y'all with me? And then they go to those bigger churches so that they don't have to look each other in the eyes. And you can't see all that stuff that's in them. Right? Amen. Right? They so-called Christians, right? And so you got to know that their words and their life, if it doesn't match up, that ain't no believer. Because here's something what happens to you when you become a believer. You ready for this? It's called Christian integrity. In other words, you keep your word. Amen. It's automatic. It starts working in your soul. God starts changing your inconsistencies. Come on, somebody. And he starts making he starts changing your wrongs. And you follow what I'm saying? He starts working with you, and you start being different. Now, here's the thing we got to be careful of, okay? We can amen here, but at home, everybody know who you are. And if folk don't want to be around you at home, something wrong with that. Because that's your home face. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. How blessed is the man? Yep. Who does not walk in the advice or the word of the wicked. You see? Nor stand in the path of sinners. Nor sit in the seat of what? But what? Now let me tell you what that word delight means. It means it is the source of your happiness. It is where you get, see, the joy that we're talking about here is not the one the world gives. The joy that the world gives is temporary. It's not permanent. So the joy the world will give you, it only lasts for a few hours. Amen. Some of us a few minutes. I ain't talking about that. Let me stop that. Right? He says, amen. He says his delight is in the what? Y'all don't want to play tonight. Y'all don't want to be funny tonight. Y'all all strict tonight. His delight, amen, is in the what? Law of the Lord. But watch what he does. He realizes where he, see, his thing, if I know where I get my joy, then I will consistently run to it. See, a lot of us don't pick this up till Tuesday night. Amen. A lot of people don't pick this up till Tuesday night or Sunday morning. But I want to dare you to do something. Sit with this, and as our devotional was today, and listen. How many read the devotion today? Amen. What did he say? He said, you have to listen. Sit there with the word. He says, and in his law, what does he do? He meditates. Now, let me tell you what the word meditation is all about. A cow has 9 stomachs. And when a cow chews the grass, it goes into the first stomach. He regurgitates it. And then he chews it again. And it goes to the second stomach, third, fourth, fifth, until the 9th stomach, until it's fully digested. So what he's saying is when you look at the word, you be like this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law. What is he saying? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he keeps reading and he keeps reading and you keep reading and you keep reading. And what's happening now, right, is you are meditating now. People think meditating is, People think that's meditation. But he says, what is he meditating on? He says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And watch this. He meditates when? Day and what? Night. So if you read the same scripture 9 times in the morning, 9 times in the evening, what do you think is going to start happening to you? You're going to start knowing the word. And when trials come in your life and when trouble shows up, you will have a word to stand on to take you through the storm. That's what God's word does. It brings you through the storms of life. And as a witness, watch this, Satan wants to mess up your witness. But the more words you have on you, come on, somebody. The more words you have, when the devil show up, listen, today the devil been busy. You know, he shows up in internets, and you know, he shows up in the telephone line, there's all kinds of stuff. And then you gotta call the people on the line, and then when you get them on the line, they ready for you. They pumped and primed to to take all of your relationship with God. Amen. Cause you to cuss and all kinds of stuff. All right? And you losing your patience and all that kind of stuff. That is a pure sign. When somebody vexes you, that's a pure sign that you need to grow. Look at the people who make you angry and say, man, okay, I got work to do. But watch what he does. He meditates what? Day and night. And the text says, verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by what? Streams of water. Now there are different trees planted different places, but if I was a tree, I would want to be planted by the streams of water, because it doesn't matter, all seasons I'm going to be watered. See, and it's really the root that needs to be watered, not the leaves, not the branches. And see, what he's saying is, when you meditate on this word, when you get in the word and you start meditating on it, you are literally positioning yourself to be fully nurtured by God. See, when I start talking about fathered by God, this is part of it. Being nurtured by God means that he's supplying, watch this, the things that you need spiritually. Watch this, so that you can operate in the physical. All right? So you need spiritual strength first before you need physical strength. Are you with me? Watch what he says. He says he'll be like a tree, firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit, what? In its season. Now, here's the thing about the person who is meditating, who is hearing the word and applying the word. They understand, watch this. You ready for this? They understand that seasons change. And they also know their season. Oh, I wish I had you. Apple tree knows its season. Come on, somebody. Watermelon has a season. Plums has a season. Everybody, listen, when you plant the seed, you got to wait for the what? The harvest. And so when you meditate on the word of God, you're not going to automatically get better overnight. Come on, somebody. You're not going to automatically be a Bible scholar. You're not automatically going to, you know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. Okay, but here's the beauty of this dispensation, this time. This dispensation, we are in the dispensation of grace. I'm going to say it one more time. We are under grace. We're no longer under the law. Whereas people will condemn you, God shows you grace. And the more you're in the Word of God, the more you are studying the word, the more you are meditating. Now, what is study? That's a good question. How do you study? Well, you got to have tools. That's the first thing. People say, I got to study Bible. That doesn't mean you study it. But what I pray that as a witnesser, that we would start meditating. Really spending time in the Word. Saints, let me tell you why things are falling apart for us. Because we're not in this Word. Reason we can't get along is because we're not in this Word. Reason life looks the way it does. Listen, and you say, well, Pastor, I don't understand it. Just pick it up and read it 10 times. And then listen to God. And guess what God's going to start doing by way of the Holy Spirit? He's going to start illuminating. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is not also to witness, to help you witness, but it's also to illuminate. The word illuminate means to bring to light. That's his job. His job is to illuminate the scripture. So when you look at it, you're like, wow. I told you on Sunday when I saw Galatians 4, I literally broke down into tears because I realized I don't even know how to be a son because I never had a daddy. I have a father, but he was never in the house. Are you with me? And so I don't know what it's like to be a son to a father. God is my father now. Now what kind of son am I? Now, that came by illumination. That came from me reading the passage over and over, and I was meditating, and then all of a sudden, it came alive. And I'm like, man. And you know, it was good news because he says, you are my son. And I embraced that for the first time in a long time. I saw, for the first time in my whole life, I understood my worth. I don't think y'all hear me tonight. I know my worth. You may not like me. You may not appreciate me or whatever the case may be. But God says, you are my son. And you got to embrace that. You got to say, I am his daughter. And because I am his daughter, I am an heir to everything he has. Y'all ain't trying to hear me right now. And being an heir of his throne and all of that, and being an heir of his family, listen, I can do anything that I want to do as long as it glorifies him. See, that's why a lot of people ain't making no movements. A lot of people not making a movement because it's all about them. What I want. So ask yourself a question. What I want, is God want the same thing? Oh, hello, somebody. And if God wants the same thing that you want, guess what's going to come to pass? Doors are going to open. Boom. Listen, if the doors are opening, now Satan can open some doors too, but if the doors are opening and you know that you want it for the glory of God, it will come to pass. Are you following me? He says what? He will yield his fruit in the season. And watch this. And all through the seasons, all four seasons, what does it say next? Come on for a minute. You know what that picture is? That even in your summers, in your dark winters, come on somebody, in your fall season, in your spring season. Spring is coming. It's an exciting time, right? Okay? But in whatever season of life you find yourself in, I wish I had somebody. You're meditating on the word, then guess what's going to happen? You're not going to look no different. You're still going to maintain your joy. You're still going to be happy. You're still going to say, God, you know, I give you my all. You're not going to fade away like everybody else. You know, I know you all are committed. I want to tell you that. I know you're committed, but I know you struggle. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to. You have to persevere in the word. You know, let me see. What time we got? Yeah, I can do it. Watch this. Watch what he says. His leaf does not wither. This is where the Lord wanted us to go tonight. And what happens? And what happens? And what happens? And in what? And in what? Okay, I want you to take that whatever. Put something there. What are you trying to accomplish in your life right now? What are you trying to accomplish? Whatever you're trying to accomplish, if you do it according to God's plan, stop listening to wicked people. Well, let me deal with that right quick. Let me deal with that. See that right there? Stop listening. Stop taking advice from ungodly people. Then he says, stop standing with sinners. Stop mixing. If you're not there to win them to Christ, then get up out of there. What you there for? What you hanging around? What you playing cards and dominoes with them for? Well, Pastor, that's my family. Listen, they're not saved. Do you know what Jesus said? Let me show you what Jesus said. Amen. You know where I'm going, Sister Sarah. This is what Jesus said, right? His mama came up and said, listen, tell Jesus, his mama and sisters, tell Jesus we're here. Somebody ran in the crowd. This is the crowd, right? And said, Jesus, your mama's here. He said, who? He says, your mama and your brothers. He said, first of all, if they weren't here first, they're not my mama and dad. That's not my mama. Who's my mama? Those who are here with me, serving God. Y'all don't want to embrace that. Y'all don't want to embrace that idea. But here's the thing. Jesus was saying, if she wasn't here, she don't get no special treatment. And that's his mama. Now, he loved his mama because on the cross, he left his mama, left John in charge of his mama. But what Jesus was saying, mama, you got to get your spiritual life together. You got to be where everybody else is at my feet serving me. Come on, somebody. I wish I had somebody. And see, that's what happens to a lot of people. They're standing with sinners. But look at the next thing. See, so the progression is this. First of all, you start walking. This is how it works in life. You're walking around, you're doing well, and then all of a sudden, you slow down. You start talking. He said, stand. You start standing with them now. And then before you know it, you're all comfortable now. You in that couch, sitting with them, ain't doing nothing with your life.
just sitting there, wasting away, not doing anything for the glory of God. That's the progression. I call it the progression down. Because you start off walking, you start off standing, you went from walking to standing. Listen, anything that stops you from moving is a hindrance. Come on, somebody. It could be a TV show. Oh, yeah. Empire back on. Is it? Is that back on? Power coming back on. That's in the fall. Okay? And all these things, Facebook could cause you to stop. Social media, and anything else that stops you from getting in this word to meditate on it is a hindrance. Hello, somebody. Ouch, amen, or thank you. You can say either one. Right? He says what? What's he say? He says, not what he says. He says, and he will what? I'm back to verse 3. He says, and he'll be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Watch this. And in whatever he does, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, it's hard when you gotta, you know, here's the thing. You can love your family, okay? But if they are a hindrance to your journey, then you gotta love them via text. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. You gotta love them via GroupMe. Okay? Because I know if I get around you, I'm finna smoke me some of what you smoking. Y'all not trying to hear me now. I'm finna drink some of what you drinking. Okay, so I have to love you via text. I love you. I love you, bro. Anything that stops me that stops me in my track from walking, I got to get rid of that. Turn your neighbor and say, I got to get rid of that. I can't be around that. Okay? Now here's how you can get them to the Lord. Because that's your assignment. Listen, a prophet is without honor in his own home. But let me say this to you. When a person first gets saved, it's a fact. They are the best witnesser there is. They're excited, and everybody tell them no, they ain't even hearing no. They're like, yeah, I love Jesus. We love Jesus. And then after that year goes by, then they just settle down. They're like, what happened to your Jesus again? And look, you're not no longer in church. Right? But you were gung-ho. You were excited. This is why we have to prove to the world that Jesus is real. How many can say he's real in your life? He said, whatever you do, I'm saying it one more time, whatever you put your hands to do, he says, he shall prosper. You know, this is God's plan. The question is, are we doing this? And if we're not, our witness is going to be a little difficult. All right? Because here's the thing. You got so the next thing on your page, it says here, you know, I need you to write two co-workers' names, two of your friends' names, two of your neighbors, and two of your acquaintances. In that, right in those, you see that? Session 3 right there? That's what I need you to do. I need you to write somebody's name there. You may just know one person. See when you come time to think about it, you're like, man, who should I don't even know nobody, huh? You know? But you see him all the time. Maybe a toll booth worker or, you know, an attendant at the gas station or somebody like that. What we have to do is learn to identify and then learn how to build a relationship with them. But here's the thing. I'm talking to the who tonight? The witnesser. There's a passage of scripture that really blew my mind. And it came right off of Vision Sunday. And then we're going to go home.
And it's found in the book of Revelation. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Revelation. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, Lord. Well, get ready, because after Father by God, I'm going to be talking about, are you ready? I'll be dealing with, are you ready to be raptured? Amen. That's going to be good, right? Now, here's what happens here in the book of Revelation. Look at verse 4. Somebody read that for me. There were seven churches, Revelation chapter 1. Verse 4. Matter of fact, just back up to verse 1, because we ain't never been to Revelation before. Let's read that. Read it for me. Somebody.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bond servants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near.
Blessed is he who reads mm-hmm. and those who what?
Hear.
Now that's what we've been talking about all night, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say one more. Let me see if I can help you. If you meditate, if you don't stand with sinners, scoffers, and wicked people, and you meditate on the word day and night, you shall be what? Blessed, and you shall prosper in all you do. But in the book of Revelation, he says, blessed. Okay, so if I know that there's a blessing for me reading this, oh, I wish I had somebody. Man, my Bible should be marked up.
Yes, sir.
Listen, my Bible should be falling apart. Because how many want to be blessed? I don't think y'all want to be blessed. I think some of you believe that you can make your own blessing. Is that true? Okay, good. All right. I was challenging you. He says what? Blessed is he who what? Reads and those who hear the words of the what? Prophecy, and not just hear it, read it, but do what to it? Heed it. You know what heed means? Apply it. So after tonight, we're walking out of here, we're going to start doing this word. We're no longer just going to read it and say, okay, we read it. Okay, I went through my routine tonight. Guess what? I read 15 chapters and then blah, blah, blah. No, we're going to meditate. We're going to highlight. You're going to listen to the word speak back to you. And then you're going to stand up and you're going to face that world tomorrow with a word in your heart. Watch this now. He says what? He says, heed the things which are written in it for the what? What time? The second coming of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You better be ready. Because when he raptures this church, man, I don't want to see no full seats here. We all going. Now, just because you save, all right, let me hit the rewind button on that. You are going. Okay, but the rewards that you're going to get, and we're going to deal with that when we get here, but I want to just show you something real quick. Read verse 4 for me.
John to the seven
churches. To the what churches?
Seven churches.
There are seven churches in Asia. Seven what?
Churches.
Now let me say this to you. As I was reading this yesterday, God shared with me, I love my church. As a matter of fact, I died
for my church. All right? You are the church. He died for us. Now, I'm just going to touch it. I can't finish it. I'll finish it. I'm going to just do the first church. So he's talking about seven. He's writing to seven churches. Okay? And the first church he says, to the churches who are age of grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. All right? So now we know he's talking to how many churches? Seven churches. So let's look at the message to the first church, and we're going to go home. Now, I want to say this to you. This is why I'm on a quest to make sure that this church lives up to God's standards. All right? We may not be mega, but we're what? We're major. We're majoring in the word. So that when people come here, they're going to know we know the word. A person can't stand in this pulpit and tell you just anything. And then when I'm going on to be with the Lord, you won't be moved and swayed by trickery of men. Okay? This is real. Satan is after your relationship with God. So by then, God will raise up a leader who has the same spirit who will move the church to the next phase. But from then to now, hello somebody, we got to make sure we're right. Now, we're all not going to live right because we're still in this body. But boy, we can try. Amen. Watch this now. Watch this now. Watch what he says to the first church. Now, to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Now, you know who the angel is? The pastor. So every one of these letters is written to the angel of the church. The Bible calls the pastor the angel of the church. You got to know that. That's why you got to be careful how you treat him. Amen. He's not your homeboy. Amen. He's not to be messed with, because God takes that very seriously. And those who have tried have experienced a life very uncomfortable. Are y'all with me? So look what he said. He says, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, right? The one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this. Watch this now. This is the church now. I know your deeds. And your what? And your what? Toil. And what? Perseverance. And that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put, watch it, and you put to the test those who call themselves what? Apostles. And they are not. In other words, this church right here, they had it going on. They were sound doctrinally. They had discernment. They were given over to the scripture. Listen, you couldn't fool them. They were the church that had it together biblically. But watch this. Verse 3. And you have what? And have endured for my name's sake. And have not what? And all of that they did, right? Look what he says in verse 4. That's a blow. You made sure that you had sound doctrine. You discerned false apostles. You know, you did all this stuff, right? But I have this against you, that you have left Jesus. They did all this stuff and they left Jesus out. They had programs. They cast vision. Oh, I wish I had somebody. They did all this stuff. Next week I'll pick up with the rest of the churches because we got to know which church we want to be. Because we're talking about witnessing to people, but what are we bringing them into? And so what that means is this. You can be so busy trying to live right where you leave Jesus out. Well, I don't know. It didn't say that. But I believe that in their quest, they just left him out. They were programmatic. They were prolific in their presentations. But what they did was they left their first love. They were in love with him at the beginning, and they got busy working and busy protecting that they left Jesus out. May I say this to you? We can leave him out of our witness. We can leave him out of our lives. We can leave him. Listen, we are in a quest to do the word, but you got to keep Jesus first in your life. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Put Jesus first. They did all this stuff. He says, therefore, he says, remember from where you have fallen and what? Listen, their deeds were good. But they left Jesus out. We're working in this church to build this church. But listen, y'all. Every now and then, every service, we got to stop and say, in Jesus' name. Christ, we put you at the head. Lord, we're not exalting anybody or anything we're doing, but we're going to keep you at the head. Because if you fall away from your first love, I see people in ministry, they get burnt out. People saying, oh, I got this, do that. Listen, if he's not your first love, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get tired. You're going to get weak. Because if Christ is before you, then you're doing it for him. He'll go before you. He says what? Repent from where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds, watch this, you did at first. In other words, get back to basics. Get back to basics. Praying. Studying. Evangelizing. Fellowshipping, worship, get back to, listen, you can be singing without Jesus, trying to perform. He says, repent and do the deeds you did at first. That's verse 5. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless So let me ask you this as I close. Where's your first love? Is he still first? Seriously, if he's first, don't fool me now. If he's first, then your life should be looking a whole lot different. If he's first. We're doing all these things, and we got all these teams, and we got all this stuff, and we got all these ministries, and we got all this stuff we're doing, okay? But the Lord arrested me last night, and he says, where's your first love? Deal with the witnesser for today, Pastor. Apply the word. Live it. Listen, stop trying to figure it out. Yield yourself and he'll do it for you. Give God a hand clap praise. Tonight, if you need prayer, maybe you have
looked at your life tonight. Maybe God has spoken to you tonight and he has said to you, hey, you got to get in that word. You got to start meditating. Stop complaining. Start meditating. You know, if you have a dream, you got to give it to the dream giver. Amen. And God is the one. He says, you'll be like that tree, firmly planted by the streams of water. But you know, with all of our getting, where is your first love? Do you remember when you accepted him into your heart? Do you remember that day, that moment, that second? And now you've been in the Lord a little while, but here's the thing. You're doing a lot of things, but are you doing it for him? Is he still first? Is he still first? Tonight, I want to pray for you. Tonight, I want to pray for you. If you need prayer, Pastor, I need prayer tonight. I want to be like that tree. Yeah, come on. Amen. If you want to come tonight, come on. You can come tonight. I'll pray with you tonight. I'll pray with you tonight. Maybe you need prayer. Amen. You want God. You want to be, you want him first place again. You want that word in your life. Come on. You want that word in your life. You want God. You want to be like that tree. You don't want to be the person that's entertained. You don't want to be like the children of Israel. You know, it's amazing how they got there. God has been so good to them. You know, and it's a no wonder that they only 144,000 of them will be saved in the end. There are billions of them. Jewish people, that is. But they replaced that. Their behavior was not consistent with their beliefs. And not only that, but their desire was for entertainment, not divine enlightenment. And today, if you want me to pray for you, Pastor, pray for me. I want to stay on that track. You know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to get down that road in my life where I've lived this life. And in the end, he says, you did all these good things, but you left your first love. If you want me to pray for you tonight, I'll pray for you. Get back to your first love. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's key. God knows what you needed tonight. Amen. Your first love. Why you're doing it. Amen. Put Jesus first. Amen. 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 We believe God can do that. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy. Amen. We want to put him on a prayer list and we want to keep praying for him. Amen. Young man too. Amen. But we're believing God going to pull him through this. Amen. He's very sick. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad. Right. So this is confirmation. Yeah. You got to get back in that word, devotions. Amen. Reading it. Amen. Now here's what you can do, y'all. When y'all take notes on Sunday, when you go home, you go over the notes and go over the scripture with the points. That's how you get back into the word. Okay. That's a good way, a good practice. Amen. And then the fasting should be putting you in the word. Amen. With the devotions every day. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Pray for Sister Alma, who wants her first love back. Tonight we pray for her. We ask that you'd bless her, Lord. And we ask, Lord, tonight, Lord, that she would continue to stay on fire for you, Lord. Realizing, Father God, that her lamp can burn out if you're not first. Thank you tonight, Lord. We pray for Sister Sarah tonight, putting you first, Lord. Pray for Sister Ro, who wants to put you first. But also we want to pray for Jeremy tonight. Touch Jeremy right now, Lord. Touch his father. Touch his family, Lord. And we're asking in the name of Jesus for supernatural healing. We believe in your power. We believe, God, that if we ask anything in your name, that you'll do it. So in the name of Jesus, would you heal him now? Pray for Sister Andrea, who wants to make sure that everything she does is to glorify you. And then, Lord, give her the discipline to get back in your word, to study, to show herself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. We thank you for this church tonight, and we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Give God a praise. Amen. All right, let's stand to be dismissed tonight. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you. Amen. Don't forget this Saturday. Amen. Amen. When you have divine revelation and you realize that what you've been doing, amen, and God speaks to you, it's an amazing thing, y'all. It's an amazing thing. We thank God for his word tonight. Amen. So tonight, don't forget Saturday, amen, Deacon James. He's over the family and friends festivities this weekend. I'm looking forward to being here, having a good time. Now, here's what we're going to do on Saturday, y'all. Amen. We're going to end our fast, amen, at 12 o'clock. All right? So boy, John about to jump out his skin. Amen. He's like, woo, Lord have mercy. He can't wait till Saturday now. He gonna be praying. He counting down Friday, Thursday. Today's what? Today's only Tuesday. He gonna be counting it down. Amen. Tonight, if you want to bless the Lord with a gift, amen, don't forget to bless the Lord with a gift. We're getting ready to start something. That I think is pretty interesting. It's going to be giving by text. Text giving, amen, where all you got to do is one time register, you put your information in, right, you text to this code, and then when you want to do your tithes, you just put the dollar amount and text it, and it will come right into the church, amen. So, amen, which we're progressive. We're moving, amen, amen. We're moving to make it easy for you, amen. Now, you can do that now. You can go online. And you can create an account, amen, if you want to. And you can give online also, amen. So if you want to worship God tonight, we should worship God with a gift. The word was broken open, amen. And so we want to worship God, amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. God of mercy, God of grace, we thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we want to live. We don't want to be as the children in Ezekiel, where they talked about the preacher at home, about how they're going to go hear him today. And then when they got there, Father God, they were entertained, but they never intended on living the word. Father, we thank you for what you've shown us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're going back to our first love. This church, who thought they had it together, they were missing something. So let us always evaluate ourselves as a church, as a people, Lord, to making sure that we've put our first love first. We thank you. We have an example now. We thank you for your word tonight. Bless each and every person who will give tonight. Bless those who have given tonight online already. We thank you for blessing them. And Lord, we're praying, Father God, for your continued blessings upon our lives. See us home safely. Give us safe traveling grace. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling,
To the only wise God be majesty, dominion, and power, now, henceforth, and forevermore. And may we all say, amen. Vision Church, I am church member. Upward, inward, outward, roll out. Hug three people, tell them you love them. Have a great, great, and wonderful night.
Anybody believe your harvest is coming tonight? Come on, clap your hands. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.